You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. From childhood to adulthood, you know, our feelings about the passing of time has changed immensely from when we were children to now as adults. Remember when you were a child and mom or dad were driving you in the car and you were in the back seat? And if you're taking a long journey or a trip somewhere, what is one thing that you would constantly ask? You got it. When are we going to get there? Are we there yet? For Christ's sakes, are we there yet? You might not have gotten that dramatic. I mean, I, as a child, got quite dramatic in some cases. However, most of the time I'd be like, hey, Dad, Mom, how much longer? How much longer, Mom? How much longer? God, oh, geez. And I am an only child. Okay, so I had no brothers or sisters to pick on. I had no brothers or sisters to pick on me. I mean, at least when you watch, like, films where you see, like, the kids in the back and they're picking on each other and they're nagging one another and smacking each other and all that great stuff. Remember that old commercial from Holiday Inn? Let the kids stay in the back of the truck and beat on each other. Man, that was, like, old school. But anyway, remember that? I didn't have other kids in my life, so there I was, just solo, me, Ashley B., in the back, asking my parents, how much longer is this going to be? And it felt like it was an eternity. Remember that one? It just, every single thing felt like an eternity. And I got another one for you. Remember when your parents would take you to a dinner with their friends? So it wasn't, okay, see, again, I was the only child, so it wasn't that you were the center of attention or they weren't constantly telling you and your sister or you and your brother, calm down, be quiet, you know, shut up, eat your food. Instead of that, like, they had their friends, and so you were kind of just like the fifth wheel. For me, I was like a fifth wheel. And I mean, I was always interesting, and they would always ask me my questions or questions about my perspective, and I always shared it in a timely manner, and I spoke when spoken to. However, I mean, your butt would get like numb, and you would literally watch them as they went through the pre-cocktail stage, the aperitif stage, or the little appetizers, the soup stage. Remember the soup stage? And you're like, by this point, you're like, you could have eaten a full meal and left, and you could go home and play with your toys, but instead, there is no hope for you. There is no hope for you, because you know what? You're going to be here for the rest of your life. At this restaurant, never going to leave because you'll be here for eternity. This is maybe what hell feels like. I'm not really sure. I don't really want to find out. But no, think about it. Think about it. When you were a kid and you're waiting on your parents, you're like, my God, these people. I mean, they're talking about the same crap for 3 hours. And as a child, when I was being raised in my family, there was no toys at the table. There was no video games. There was no iPad for the child. I didn't get an iPad. You know, I wasn't over there with my iPad, you know, or my smartphone, you know, screwing around on, you know, what is it, Angry Birds, having a good time. No, there was nothing. There was play with your napkin, play with your food, or stare off into space. And those were your three games of choice. And Apple did not have a cornerstone on staring off in space. That was pretty much open forum right there. You know, nowadays I'm sure they have some sort of part or piece or stock value on that. But think about it. Remember when you were a kid? This was real. And even on that road trip, and even at that eatery, you felt as though you were going to end up being there for the rest of your life. So I want to begin tonight's discussion from childhood to adulthood, how our feelings, our internal feelings and thoughts about time have completely and utterly changed. We feel one way as a kiddo. We feel one way as we grow up. We feel another complete way as an adult in their 20s, as an adult in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 105. Totally different way. And so let's begin discussing about the are we there yet mentality. Are we there yet mentality? How much farther? How much longer mentality? You know, when we were kids, time essentially went by extremely and utterly slowly. It did, didn't it? In our thoughts and in our minds, we were growing so fast, getting older, you know, getting taller, you know, all those things, that we were so busy in the system that we weren't able to check out and look at it from a different perspective. And time went by so slowly in our minds and in our belief that everything took forever. I mean, remember when you were younger, before you even went to preschool, like everything seemed to stop. Like there was nothing going. Like time stood still. Remember when you got to elementary school and you're in class for all those hours a day and you thought there's no way you can handle that class? And you remember how happy we were to go to recess? Somebody ultimately always screwed up recess. You remember recess? Somebody ultimately always screwed up recess. Somebody always either threw the dodgeball at the face of somebody we knew, got angry, picked on somebody, picked somebody's ponytail, did something wrong, and we ended up doing what? We had to go back inside. And remember when we were young enough where we had those sleeping mats? You remember the sleeping mats? So it was almost like a thick yoga mat. Almost like a thick yoga mat. And you got those like thick little yoga mats. And they kind of smell because they were made out of that kind of like polyurethane plastic type thing. And I remember that. I remember like somebody would get in trouble and they'd be like, everybody come inside. Everybody form a single line and walk through the door. As you walk into class, pick up your mat from the closet, from the water closet, wherever we were, the cupboard, whatever that was. Remember that closet that we had to hang up our jackets and put our backpacks in and all that great stuff. And like the crayon depository was there, you know, the crayon depository where all the crayons lived. And the crepe paper and the cardboard paper and the construction paper. That's it. The construction paper. Remember? Remember learning how to make the hearts? And you had to fold the paper and then you folded the paper a certain way so that when you cut and made that part of the heart, one part of the heart, you would have a full heart when you pulled out the paper. I think I've digressed. So let's go back to, or maybe I've advanced, I don't know. For some of you, you might feel one way or another. Let's go back to the mat. So you'd go back and sit on that mat, and there would be like, okay, everybody needs to lay down and everybody needs to sleep. And they would turn the lights off. You remember that? And if somebody was sitting up on their mat, they'd be like, John, lay down. Mary, close your eyes. Mary, I see your eyes open. Ashley, quit talking. A little bio on me, the talking one. I don't know where I got it, and I guess it might have helped me somehow, right? And think about us laying on those mats and how long we laid on that doggone mat. I mean, sure, it was 15 minutes, but didn't that feel like eternity? Didn't we feel like we were being abused? We were being abused by our teacher. How dare them put us on that mat when we could be outside playing dodgeball? My elementary school had this hill. It was like a man-made hill, and underneath it was like a tunnel where you could stand in there. There wasn't really anything to do. But you could run up the hill and run down the hill, and then they had like a couple of like rope things that you could pull yourself up the hill, or you could kind of like slide down the hill, or you could like, you know, Tarzan it off the hill. And a lot of people like to do that and get really hurt. Or you could do the swings or whatever, but it was always something to do, and so it filled the time. And it was funny how when we were, you know, in that recess moment, before anybody ever screwed it up, time went by really fast. Because remember, recess was always the same amount of time. For most people, it was like 30 minutes, right? Like the maximum amount of time was 30 minutes if nobody screwed up. And so that 30 minutes, so you remember when the teacher would be like, blow the whistle and be like, guys, come on in, you know, line up in a single file line, we're going into class. And you'd be like, that is BS. We were out here for 5 minutes. No, we were out there for 30 minutes. But that was one of the only times that time flew by. Time flies when you're having fun. And because of that, I feel like when we were kids, the only time that time felt similar to an adult is when we were having fun. When we were trying to be talking about more of the facets of are we there yet mentality. And later on, I'll be talking about what happens later on when we grow up and how we feel about time. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time and, well, come on, I think y'all already know this by now. Okay, we'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. From childhood to adulthood, we're talking about the feelings that we have about time and how they've made a major change. Our feelings and thoughts about time have completely changed. When we were kids, we felt a specific way. As children, we had that are we there yet mentality. Are we there yet? How much longer? Mom, dad, how much longer? How long is it going to take us? How much longer? When you're on that road trip, it felt like you were going to be on that road trip for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life and everybody else's lives, for goodness sakes. But it was only specific times in a childhood that we felt, though, as that time was ticking away. And that exact time where time felt very fast was when we were on the playground. When we were on the playground, because for the most part, when we were having fun, time went by. It flew. But other than that, it just went by so slowly. And I think that as kids, a lot of times, it's the boredom factor. We're bored, and when you're bored, time just seems to just, like, you know, fall off the face of the universe. You look when you're bored at a clock, and the clock goes backwards. You go, for the first time in God's green creation in history, I just saw a clock go backwards. And for us adults, we would love to see that. Oh, God, that would make our entire lifetime. We'd be like, oh my gosh, I have time to do all those things that I haven't been able to do yet as an adult. I'm so happy that time is on my side. But as a child, I mean, think about it. We were bored all the time. Remember how many times people would say, what are you doing? You're like, I'm bored. And I always said it in like a way, I'm bored. I always added that, bored. Because I wanted to prove a point that I was freaking bored. I mean, I'm over here, I'm a kid, and I was the only child too, so I didn't have anybody to pick on. And I didn't have anybody to pick on me. I mean, I would have loved that to be picked on. That would have been fun because, you know, it would have been something to do. You know, like I said about earlier, you know, let the kids stay in the back of the truck and beat on each other. You know, that was a Motel 6 ad, actually. That wasn't a Holiday Inn. That was a Motel 6 ad. Tom Bodell with Motel 6. You remember that? Oh, I always used to laugh at those as a kid. Tom Bodell, Motel 6, let the kids stay in the back of the truck and beat on each other. I never had another kid to beat on me or for me to beat on them. So I just literally just was like in the backseat going, oh my God. And there wasn't any iPads. There were no iPads. And when I was that young, the computers were really big. And even if you had a laptop, you had to have a power supply because those batteries did not last. And you know what? I mean, there wasn't much to do. Wasn't much to do. And on top of that, the whole idea of being, you know, car sick, you know, as an infant, you know, it seems to help you out. Like you calm down, you know, people drive their infants around all the time to get the kids to stop whining or crying or get them to sleep or maybe help them with their nausea or whatever. But, you know, when you get to a certain age, if you're in the backseat reading on a computer, you're either like really, really good. I mean, kudos to you. I can do it in the front seat, not in the backseat. But, you know, reading, no go. No go in the backseat, especially when you got somebody that's driving that likes to stop and start all the time. Really makes you sick. You feel like you're on a cruise ship from hell, you know what I mean? A cruise ship from hell where there's some sadistic cruise ship captain that just likes to get people sick and gets them off, gets his kicks off because he's able to get everybody throwing up or something like that. And that happens, especially with certain people driving. And not to name names or point fingers or name names, but my dad is one of those kind of drivers that literally, if he can't make you sick, if you're in the car with him for 3 hours and he doesn't make you sick, then you're invincible. You really are. You have an iron stomach, and God bless you, and God bless your family, because you got something good going on. Other than that, every single time I'm in the car, even till this day, if I'm in the back seat with my dad, hold on to your stomach. Do not read anything. Do not read anything. Do not look away from that road, because guess what? You'll feel pretty bad. When you're a kid, you feel so small too. And I think because we feel so small, we feel insignificant. Almost like we really don't have a stake in the game, and we're kind of just going at life with emotions. Emotions of the ocean. No, I'm just kidding. That made me think about the nausea in the car. But yeah, think about it. We go through the motions because we're young and we're kind of just like, well, whatever. What are we supposed to be doing here? And what are we supposed to be getting around? And I think life around us, everything's so big. The people are big. Our parents are tall. We're so small. I mean, even for some of us, you know, our dog, the family dog at a certain time was taller than you were. Remember? I mean, and you felt so insignificant. And it wasn't that you consciously were like, I'm insignificant, I'm lesser than. No, it was just more like assumed. And you did what you knew to do, which was to grow up and to try to get to that next level that you didn't know. And so there were no goals, really, right? Think about it. I mean, you didn't sit there and have a goal. I gotta be 2 feet taller than I was in 1 year, and if I'm not, then I'm not growing taller. I need to have this educational background. I need to get my doctorate by 2020. No, you don't think about that kind of stuff. Instead, you're just living. You're just living in the moment. Well, honestly, a child lives in the moment. And that's what made it so special. That's what made it so special, because our mind wasn't making all these assumptions up yet. We weren't deciding how people felt about us, or how we thought they felt about us, or what they were saying behind our back, or what was really going on here. Let's really psychoanalyze this situation. You know, you never walked into pre-K and was like, that person wouldn't sit next to me. Well, let's psychoanalyze what their purpose is. You know, thank God we didn't have, you know, texting in preschool. You'd be like, what do they mean by that text? Seriously, and when we're children, as we get older, so let's talk about that, like in the reference of elementary school, I feel that it's very similar. And when we hit middle school, we begin to have more problems with our self-esteem, fitting in, and getting people to like us and respect us and that kind of thing. But again, it's not really a timing thing. We're not thinking about being behind the eight ball. We're not thinking about goals that we need to achieve. We know that we're in sixth grade. We just graduated fifth grade. We're going to sixth grade. And in my school, it was kindergarten through fifth grade, and then sixth through eighth grade in a separate school, which was considered middle school. And I know some of you had a different system where you had sixth grade in the elementary school, and then some of you had sixth grade on its own. Like, I've heard some crazy stuff. And the first school I ever went to, particularly actually for pre-K and what have you, in K, was actually a full school that actually started at pre-K and went to senior. And so, you know, as a kid, I was like, I had some senior friends that, you know, loved me as a five-year-old and would drive me back to my house. And it was pretty cool. I mean, I felt like the king, the queen of my school, even though I was five, because I had such cool friends. But even then, there was nowhere to go. There was nothing you were missing out on. There was nowhere better to be. There was nowhere that you're missing. There's nothing that you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be going to school. And you go there and there's nowhere to get out. You don't have a car to leave. You can't just walk home. And even if you did, why? I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, you know, I thought about that. It's like there were times where you never even thought about any of that stuff. And nowadays, it's like you get an extra 10 minutes somewhere. You're like, holy hand grenade, Superman. I got to get this done. And maybe I can read and get some calculus done in that traffic out there and try to get that master's taken care of and do that. No, we don't think about that as a kid. Because we don't have to. Life, for the most part, not for every child, okay? Not for every child. Because some kids are going through a lot of difficulty. But for the most part, for the most of us, for the majority of us, childhood was something that we just did autopilot. We just followed the leader. We did the things. We did what we had to do, and we walked on, and we did what we did. And we went to school, and we did what our parents did. And if we went to tap or dance or whatever it is that we were actually going to for classes. So I took violin. I took violin classes in the mornings in elementary school, and I took the Suzuki method. I took the Suzuki method, and I remember that, and I never practiced, but I was actually pretty good, which was cool. I mean, I could have been, like, amazing if I would have actually just put some time and effort into it. However, I did really well, but it was funny because there was no real thought about time unless there was a concert. So think about it. If we were playing a concert, and we had a concert that we had to play for, we had to get ready for, I knew that based upon my non-practicing self, that I would need to go to class at least two times to get the song down so that at the concert that my parents and all those people are going to be at, I would do it okay. And so you kind of like, you know, count it down. The same as you did for an exam. But exams weren't really hard back then. You know, as a kid, it wasn't really that hard. And I think that for the most part, life around us, everything's so big and grandeur that we were trying to find our place in this world, that we were too busy trying to find our place and we were too focused on us, just us, inside of us. Everything was about us. Everything revolved around us. Think about it. Everything revolved around you. Your parents looked at you and made sure that everything was okay, and everything revolved around you. As children, that's the way it is. That's why, you know, everybody out there listening as parents go, God, yeah, all I do is take care of my kids. I drive them here, I drive them there, because it's all about them. And so when the world, when it's all about you, you're not really thinking about time. You're thinking about you. You're thinking about getting older, getting stronger, all those good things, learning and growing up. And you're wanting it to go faster and faster and faster. You want to get that learner's permit now. You can't get it fast enough. My gosh, time is just, oh man, it's just going backwards. Stay tuned when we return. Let's talk about the other side of this coin. I don't ever want this to end. I don't want to ever want this to end. I want to live this. I want to be a part of this. I want to enjoy this. I want to savor every minute. And I feel that a lot of us are there right now. Stay tuned when we return. We'll be talking about that. And later on, we'll be talking about how we can balance the two sides of ourselves and make for a wonderful life. By the way, check out AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. Go to www.AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. Also, go to my website, AshleyBurgess.com. It's got a lot of great stuff on there, a lot of awesome blogs on relationships, love, dealing with problems at work, dealing with difficult people in your family, especially during the season coming up where you might have to see a lot of family and participate in family events that might make you feel, I don't know, a little insecure or a little stressed out. I have the advice for you on the blog that can help you put things back into perspective. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, yeah, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. From childhood to adulthood, our sense of time and our feelings about time and the state of time passing has completely changed. As a kid, we had that mentality, are we there yet? How much more time? When are we going to be there? Oh my God, this is taking forever. But now, for the most part, many of us think quite the opposite. I don't want this to ever end. I don't want this moment to ever end. I don't want to miss a beat. I don't want to miss a beat. I don't want to miss it. It's like we're holding on to every minute like for grim death. I mean, a lot of us have gone from such extremes of, oh my God, when are we ever going to be out of here? To, oh, I want to remember every single second of this event. I don't want to forget any of it. I want to be completely conscious. I want to be here. Oh gosh, if time would just slow down. And think about it. How many conversations have you had where people talk about how time is just flying by? About how time seems to be flying by faster and faster and faster. We can't stop it. I mean, I probably have a conversation on that, in that direction, at least I'd say maybe 2 or 3 times a week with various people. And I don't initiate it. It's not me initiating. I'm not over there like initiating this time conversation all the time. But seriously, think about it. And I think that we hold on to our time in a different manner because we hadn't done it as kids. I mean, for some of us, even in our teens and 20s, we didn't care. We didn't care one bit. We're like, man, you know, let's go through this. You know, I'm going to go through life. I'm going to skid through the street of life. If I sleep, then, you know, I can sleep when I die. But I think it's because that mentality has changed. And I think a lot of times we also realize our own mortality. Because at a certain time, we thought we were going to live forever. And I'm not arguing with the fact that in some capability, I do agree that in some capability, in some way, maybe not the exact same way that you're living right now, we're going to live forever. Yeah, we're going to live forever. Might not be here. You might not look like you. But your energy and spirit are going to live forever, yes. So we can agree to that. So, okay, but when we were young, we believed that we were going to live like this forever. We were going to be in this life and this skin and this body with this situation our whole life. And the only thing we could think about was getting that learner's permit. And remember how many times as a kid when people would ask you how old, like your parents' friends would be like, hey, Ashley, so what birthday are you on? And you'd be like, I'm 12 and a half. I'm actually 12 and a half, actually. Because my birthday's in 6 months, so, you know, 12 and a half, going on 13. As in a female adult, or as an adult in this planet, who uses the half? Most of us, we take off a couple years. Why put it all out there? But you never hear a grown woman, when somebody asks them, they say, yeah, 42 and a half, going on 43. No. No, it just doesn't happen. And you know why that doesn't happen is because we're no longer racing to be older than we are. Now, I know there's a few people out there and my mom is kind of like that. She makes herself older. Like she'll always add years to her age. And it's like, wait a second, but you're only this old. So if you've ever asked my mom what her age is, she's lying and she's making herself older. And I know people like that too. There's other friends that I have. Some names come to mind, Tracy and Anna and some other people. But, you know, shout out to y'all tonight. But yeah, why that is, there's a whole nother reason for that. But we're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about the fact that most of us do not do that because we want to harness time. We're so scared to miss a beat of it because for the most part, a lot of us neglected time for a long time. Didn't even really think about it. Wasn't a big issue. Wasn't a big thing. We're going to live forever. Who cares about a few years that you totally screw around with? Well, I do. And maybe at the time when I was screwing around, I wasn't thinking about what I was going to feel like later on, that I'm going to feel like I'm behind the eight ball. But when I'm dealing with therapy with clients, when we're doing therapy, and a lot of times when I have clients that come in after me putting them into a detox and a rehab facility after that, and then they come in for treatment after that when they're in a sober living facility or even living at home, and getting back into the work environment and back into their life, you know, we'll discuss stuff. And one of the biggest things that we talk about is purpose. And the purpose in life is something that just really takes us to the next level. Because when we have purpose, when we know that we have a purpose, things change because we want to achieve that purpose, right? That's the thing, because when we were kids, we didn't have like this purpose. I mean, yeah, we were purposed to be a kid. We didn't have a purpose to change the world. You know, we didn't have a purpose to find the cure for cancer. We didn't have the purpose that, you know, we wanted to help other people get over drugs and alcohol and help them stay clean and sober so they can raise their kids in a good, helpful manner and have positive marriages where they excel and they're happy and they have good lives that they can actually have a legacy after. Those are big purposes that a lot of people have. And so they'll come into my office and we'll talk. And we'll talk about purpose and we'll finally figure out, that's something I do very well, toot my own horn on that one, play my own harmonica is what I'd rather say. And, you know, my own snare drum. Hit my own snare drum. Seriously. And we figure out purpose. And once we figure out their purpose, all of a sudden, two things happen. Okay? First thing that happens, they're happier than they've ever been. Because they can see that life without drugs is going to still be a good life. They're going to know, they know that all of a sudden there's a reason for their life. And that's the one thing that I've been missing the whole time, right? But another thing happens that's so interesting. Another thing happens that's so interesting that nobody's prepared for or ready for because they never knew that this was going to happen. They never knew that they were going to find purpose. They never knew that they had a purpose. And what happens after we found purpose, and that normally takes me about 1 to 2 sessions. We find real purpose. All of a sudden, they come back in and they are personally upset with themselves. And you ask me why. They've gotten over, they've gotten sober, they've gotten over drugs. Why are they mad at themselves? Well, you know, they're mad at themselves because they could have been working on this a lot earlier. They begin to realize that the drugs or the alcohol or the pharmaceutical drugs is keeping them from obtaining their purpose and finding their purpose. And now they feel like they're behind the eight ball and they have so much work to do with so little time to do it. And I understand. Because when I was younger, I tried to avoid my purpose because I thought it was too big, too grandeur. I felt like there was something else going on, that maybe this is my ego talking, that that's what I was supposed to do. But it wasn't until I fully embraced it did I realize what I had to do. And not only did I realize, I've always known what I had to do, but I finally stepped up to the plate and actually started doing it. But I too felt that same kind of sadness that I had wasted that precious time. That time that I could have been doing all kinds of amazing stuff, but instead I wasn't. Instead I wasn't doing that amazing stuff. Instead I wasn't creating and working from purpose. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. And I think that is the telltale sign and the difference between when we were kids and when we were adults and how we feel about timing. I think also, as adults, we wonder where all the time went. Where did all the time go? And when we think about where did all the time go, we begin to go back in our past and reminisce. In that process of reminiscing, what happens? It's twofold. One, you get memories that you absolutely adore, and memories that you're extremely happy to have. And memories of things that you might have forgotten, but you're just so happy to remember. And on the flip side, you get memories of things that you cringe about, that you wish that you hadn't partaken in, that you realize that you wasted time doing, that the time that you wasted, you can't get back. And, you know, you sit there and as you ponder the past, and then you wake up from that past, you look at the clock and you go, holy crap! I just went down memory lane for 2 hours in my mind, and here we are again, dealing with the purpose, dealing with stuff that I haven't done yet, and I feel like I'm behind the eight ball. Stay tuned, we're going to turn to talking more about cherishing every moment, as well as how to really balance this, how to have a childlike state of mind, but at the same time, be the purpose-driven adult that gets things done and feels good about their life, because that's what we want, right? We want to have that childlike state of mind because that's so awesome. I mean, being a child is amazing. I mean, it's so great. And all that really beautiful, awesome energy you have as a child can only be gotten as a child because you're not worried about a lot of things. You're not freaking out about all the stuff that's pressuring you. But at the same time, how do we harness that as an adult? I got the answer for that. Stay tuned. When we return, Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, you can tweet me at my handle is at Ashley Burgess, or you can go to Facebook and like the Perspectives with Ashley Burgess page or the Live Your True Life page. And anytime that you would like to tweet me, you can always tweet me at my handle at Ashley Burgess. And also, sometimes if you feel like it, add the hashtag LYTL. LYTL stands for Live Your True Life. How to live your true life. And I want to know what you feel about living your true life and how you do it every day. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in 2 shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about childhood to adulthood, how the way that we see time has completely changed. The way we feel about time passing has completely and utterly changed since the time that we were children. As a child, we saw time so different. Everything happened so slowly. We were so ultimately bored all the time. We felt small. Life around us, everything was big, and we were just kind of, you know, being us, being children. Not a lot of responsibilities for most of us. Able to observe the universe and the things around us with just love, not worried, and living and growing. And as adulthood, we see things as, I don't want to ever have this end. I can't believe I got to hold on to every minute. I can't believe that I screwed up so many years of my life just racing through it. And I think a lot of times we get kind of depressed. We get kind of depressed because we feel like we don't have a lot of time left. Feeling that way can be overwhelming. It can make us feel disappointed, scared, stressed out, depressed, angry, resentful. And we have a tendency at that point in time when we get into that mindset is that instead of having fun, we don't. It's like we can't allow ourselves to have fun because fun takes up too much time. Fun takes away from the time that we have saved up. Right? And a lot of times, a lot of us are at an age where we start looking toward the end and going, oh my God, how many more years do I have? And that can be overwhelming. And I've thought about that and been there myself. And we wonder where all the time went. Where did all the time go? And like I was talking about earlier, about purpose. When people had gotten over and kicked an addiction, alcohol, drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, whatever it might be, sex, whatever the addiction is, when they finally kick it, and then we work in therapy about dealing with purpose, and I help them find and be able to pinpoint their purpose in life, like the big purpose, you know what I mean? Not like the small ones, the big one, the big showstopper, you know, the big showstopper. When we're able to figure that out, that's when there's a part of happiness and zeal, like they figured out themselves and they've unlocked this thing that they couldn't find. And now for the first time, they realize that it's true and that they do have this. And on the flip side, what is it? Sadness, because they feel like they're behind the eight ball because they missed out on all this time. And so, you know, in the next sessions, we work to, you know, get them back on their feet, to get them focused, to have attention, to focus on things and to get things done. Because the more things you get done directed toward your purpose, the less you're going to feel upset, angry, depressed, resentful. And it's not that they're feeling resentful toward others, it's that they feel resentful toward themselves. And haven't we all felt that way before, where we feel like we've missed out on something and we get very angry and disappointed with ourselves, right? And so we take it out on ourselves, and there's no way to do that, because when we start doing that, and I've done that a million times, nothing else gets done. You know, like I explained, when you're in a fight with somebody, if somebody picks a fight with you, but you're already fighting yourself, you're probably going to get the heck beat out of you. Because it's hard to fight two people at once. And it comes a time where you have to sit there and say, yes, indeed, I might have screwed up. And yes, indeed, I might have lost out on time, but I don't have to lose out on any more time. It's my time now, and I'm not going to lose out on any more time. So let's begin talking right now about how we balance the two options. How do we balance the childhood state of mind, which is where I believe all of us should keep our heart and mind as a child? Because as a child, we were very laissez-faire, very free, very open, very honest. We had feelings and we didn't make a bunch of decisions because of fear or problems in the past or assumptions. So how do we keep this childhood state of mind and be a purpose-driven adult? How do we keep this childhood state of mind and be a purpose-driven adult? Well, I'm glad you asked me because I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to give you that perspectives from Ashley Burgess Perspectives here to discuss this. The first thing that you can begin to do to have that childlike state of mind coupled with that purpose-driven adulthood is to live like everything is new and interesting. To live as though everything is new and interesting because, you know, when you realize that everything has a new option. So even if you've gone to that restaurant 15 times, if you walk in as a blank slate, you're going to have a different experience than you ever have. If you do that same drive to your family's house through the holidays and eventually, it's getting kind of tiresome because you've done it for 20 years. Look at it in a different perspective. Because when we do, we're able to feel new things, to sense new things, to see new things, to experience new things that we haven't been able to experience because before we thought it as bored, about being bored. We thought it was humdrum. We thought it was time consuming. If we look at it with an open mind, we can see things differently. And that's with every situation, going into every situation, seeing it from a different perspective allows us to really embrace certain situations. You know, the second thing that we can do to have that childlike state of mind, but still be that purpose-driven adult that has responsibilities, but knows when to have fun, is to always remember to love first. A lot of times as adults, we have a tendency of judging immediately when we see a situation and judging it a certain specific way, judging it on a certain matter. And I ask you at this point in time, instead of judging, try not to ever judge. Because for the most part, we don't have all the facts. And most of the time, our judgments aren't that good. And if we actually realize that we can love first, and we begin in a state of love, compassion, state of compassion. Let's put it that way. For some of you, love is a harsh word, or it's a deep word, it's a strong word. And I feel that you can love everybody, but let's just say that you can have compassion for everyone and come from a compassionate place in your heart and in your body, where you have compassion first before any judgment. And you hope to never have judgment because you want to stay on a certain level where you see the goodness. You see the goodness. And I'm not saying that you should be an idiot. No, I'm saying, though, that when you do see a problem, you can jump out of it. You don't have to sit there and try to make any other sense of it. But that's the key, is that when you're coming from a state of compassion and love, when someone does something crazy, when someone does something wild and crazy, guess what happens? You see it for what it is. You see it for what it is, and you step back. Because there's not a lot of mind cloudedness on the situation because you are coming in with compassion, with pure love. And when someone goes against that pure love, you can see it immediately because you can feel it because there's a change in the air, there's a change in motive, and you begin to feel different around that person because it's not you, it's them delivering something that you don't need in your life. And when something's around you that you don't need in your life, it's time to move on. And as a child, remember, even when people had fights or arguments on the playground, did you hold a grudge? No, not really. You really forgot about it. In 2 weeks, you forgot about what happened on the playground and you moved on. You might not hang out with that kid anymore, but you know what? You didn't have a lot of hard feelings. You just knew that that person and you didn't gel. That person and you just didn't probably have a real future together and it was time to make new friends. And that's what I think is so important to apply to in your adulthood. The third thing that you want to do to have that childlike state of mind with that purpose-driven adulthood, with that purpose-driven adult and that perspective, is to be vigilant. To be vigilant about your time. It's very important how you spend your time now. It may be even more important than it ever has been, especially in your life. And a lot of times we don't really think about what our time means. But our time is important. Put it where you want. Use it where you want to. Use it for what matters. Be particular. Be compassionate, but be particular. When somebody has the opposite values of you that tend to cause more harm than good in your life, maybe it's time to rethink that relationship. But you don't have to sit there and dig deep and contemplate and ask and question what that text meant. What do you think that meant by that text? What do they mean by that call? Just move away. Deal with it. Deal with it as an adult, but from a childlike perspective. As a child says, well, this didn't work. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to carry a bunch of hard feelings, but I'm not going to do it anymore, you know? Instead of going from that adult state of mind where we sit there and we Jedi mind trick ourselves. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe we were hormonal that day. Maybe we were in a bad mood. Maybe it's because I didn't have a Snickers bar. No, it's because you know that you need to be vigilant about your time so that you can continue to have that childlike state of mind. Last but not least, you want to be present in every moment. You want to be present in every moment and realize that as you are present and actually living the moments of your life, you will not feel that time is flying by because you are an essential part in the cog and the wheel of your life. And when you're not on the sidelines and you're actually in the game, you feel so much better about it because you accomplished something. And maybe time went by, but you were doing something with it. You're not a sideline person. You're in it to win it. You're in it to win it. And that's what you want. Have that childlike mind with that adult-driven purpose. That's the winning combination that's going to catapult your life into an even more amazing direction than it already is. I always have great shows for you all the time. Check me out on Spreaker soon on Adore FM, ADORE FM. Can't wait for you to check that out. That's going to be a lot of fun. Check out my website, AshleyBurgess.com. And again, remember to be present in the moment because that's what matters, because you can have that childlike state of mind and that purpose-driven adult life. And that, to me, is the best of both worlds. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in 3 shakes.